Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And it is the time of the year. I think we are celebrating Earth Day here soon, but I think people are have been
Yeah, exactly.
But okay. I think people have been itching to go out and plant something. Just with the warm weather, the spring holidays, everything, everybody wants to go outside.
Everybody's.
Exactly. So today's show, we're going to try to break down and give you some good tips to be able to have a successful landscape project in your own backyard. We see people all the time in and out of garden centers, people calling the Master Gardener help desk because they have their projects lined up and they've been given their honey-do list.
Well, I think that's the whole thing, because I cringe when I'm there and I see somebody, you know, buying a magnolia tree or an azalea bush. And I want to say, you know, I don't have my badge on, but I want to say, no, don't do that. You need to really, you gotta plan. You got to get organized. And before you start doing that, you know, we talked before the show, Denise, and you were saying everybody just wants to go out and, you know, we want color in our backyards and in the front yards and in our containers. But you got to plan ahead.
Exactly. So we want to buy plants, and we're going to get ready to buy plants, right, John?
Right.
Are we all ready? Do you have your plant list? Are you ready to go on?
We've got our tentative plant list together, and we're going to have a good batch of plants here at the UTEP Annual Plant Sale, April 27th, 28th. So we'll have a good selection of drought-tolerant, low-water-use plant material for mainly landscaping use, so people can kind of see some of the stuff that's in the garden so they can see mature plants as well as seeing the plants in the buckets. And, of course, native plants and low-water-use plants never look real good in a pot. They look best in the ground. So,
well, and I think they look lonely too when you're, you know, when you're shopping for them. But it's so important that we do know, because what we want to do is we want you to be successful. How many times have we heard people say, "Oh, I got a black thumb"? Well, there's no such thing. There's no such, you know, it's not whether you've got a green thumb, a black thumb. It's all about education, regardless of where you live. You know, we have lots of folks that come into El Paso with our military component, and maybe they've been in Bangor, Maine before they came here. Well, it's a whole different ball of wax. And something like Florafest is just the best way, because y'all don't just sell the plants. You're out there to help folks decide explain about drought tolerance and stuff.
We have the plant pros that are scattered around the sale area there too to help you with plant questions,
and it makes a big difference.
Master
because
gardeners are, you know, when they started Florafest, you know, we thought it was going to go for about 4 or 5 years, and then everybody be selling native plants, and we wouldn't need the plant sale anymore. So here it is, 25 years, and there's probably less native plants in the nurseries than there was 25 years ago.
Right. Well, and too, I think when we do go shopping, you know, many of us tend to go to the big box stores and stuff, and it's not to criticize them at all, but they're on a, you know, El Paso's a drop off along the way, you know, starting from California, going east, you know, there's just certain things that don't do well here, and it's very frustrating when you spend the money and the effort to, you know, to get something planted, and you look 3 weeks later because the temperature jumped to 98 and, you know, it's crispy critter. You know, maybe you didn't plant it well. All right. There's just all sorts of planning that has to go into your landscape.
And I think that's the key that you said, Jen. What's the plan?
Exactly.
Everyone has to have a plan. It doesn't have to be a fancy design by an architect or a landscape designer. If you want to go that route, by all means.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Yeah. But a lot of gardeners like to do it themselves. But I think one of the biggest issues is that people just have this idea of what they want, but they don't have it executed correctly. And I think, you know, all of us are kind of guilty of that at some point.
Sure. Illusions of grandeur.
Right, exactly.
And it does. And one of my recommendations to people, especially when you're vegetable gardening, we're not farmers. Right. We're home gardeners. Start small. Mm-hmm. Don't set yourself up for a disaster, and then you get frustrated, you throw in this, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
But you can, and you know, understanding your soils, what kind of light do your tomatoes need? Don't plant them under a mulberry tree. Well, you couldn't get dig in the dirt anyway if you did.
Yeah.
You know, all those kinds of things that we've talked about over and over again on the show, and that are, and there's so much information on our Master Gardener website. But we are all on a budget, and having something professionally landscaped and stuff can be very pricey, and it's wonderful, and you know, your hardscapes, all of that stuff, that's all part of it. But you've got to understand your basics of gardening with soils and compatible in a container. Right. And you can do lots and lots in a container. You know, start there if you want.
There used to be a little unwritten rule that was tried to put 10% of the cost of your house, 10% goes towards the landscape.
Okay.
I think people use about 1%.
Right, of course.
Sure.
And
sure.
Sometimes it looks like that.
You could tell.
Well, we think about the inside of our homes and everything because that's where we, quote, live. Unless you're a gardener, then you live outside.
My own personal ways, I don't want to hang out in my front yard very often.
Right.
I want to look nice and presentable, but I just don't want to do a lot of maintenance in the front.
Right.
So
I agree.
That tends to be my most xeric portion of my area that I tend to, and I rather allocate.
That's probably the way it should be.
Yeah, and I mm-hmm. allocate the water because you know we have water restrictions in effect.
And water rates went up.
And water rates went up.
Ooh,
so April 1st.
They did.
So oh boy. So you got to plan that out too. So I rather spend my time, my water, my energy in my backyard because that's where it's going to be an extension of my living room. So my front yard, very little irrigation. Nice xeric plants, they come in. We got some pollinators, we got some hummingbirds, and then, okay, bye bye.
We used to call that the oasis.
Yes.
The backyard is
the
your oasis.
Exactly.
And you get more xeric as you go away from the oasis.
As you go away from that.
And exactly. That doesn't mean that you can't have that oasis. I have to have some grass.
No, I'm saying you can't. You should
grass.
Have an oasis.
And you should have. It cools your home.
To.
Right.
You know, all those kinds of things. But all this thing, all of these plants can live together compatibly if you plan. I have a visitor that came to see me who was a former El Pasoan, grew up here and married, left town, so forth and so on, and is now in East Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to my house and he said, I just keep waiting to see the grass that you used to have. I said, not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we're doing our part for conservation. And I said, that is where El Paso really shines. We really do a good job with that. So, and remember, there's a difference between the xeriscape and the xeroscape.
Right.
You know, you've got
to understand.
It's
interesting to go
to,
you know, other
principles.
Cities, Austin and stuff, and we're starting to see developments where they're not putting grass yards in there. They're getting away from them, and I think there's one area in Austin that's zero.
Oh my goodness!
They've you know really tightened up on everything there, so it's a very very low input area. So
right.
So it's you know, and that's Austin. It gets 30 inches of rain. You know,
sure,
so
definitely. And I think a lot
they're tightening it down, and water's a big,
it's
critical
a huge issue.
All across the state.
It
even
is.
Even Houston, it gets 60 inches of rain.
Right. No, definitely. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the, you know, builders and how you kind of build in neighborhoods as well. We kind of scrape all of that native vegetation away.
Topsoil. Sure.
The native trees, the creosote. I mean, if you would build those neighborhoods within that natural topography, we'd be in a great position as well. We're not there, unfortunately, but we can do our part. To be able to continue to have those ground covers. So you never want to remove your turf grass just for the sake of that or rock an entire area. You always, your key for that is to have at least 50% of that ground being covered by something, whether that's a low mounting shrub, a ground cover. But the last thing you want to do is create a heat island.
Oh.
When you're trying to create an oasis, it's just counterintuitive or counterproductive, if you will.
I remember there was a couple of developments put in on Stanton by a home builder named Willis Shoemaker, who's passed away since. But he had the early thought, you know, that we would build houses only on the little pad that's set for him, and he left everything else natural.
Mm-hmm.
And when he put his roads in, you know, he collected the rocks off of the road. He collected the plants, made a little plant nursery, and, you know, put the road in only big enough, you know, to get down the road, and then he would come back in and put the native plants,
That's
replant
amazing.
Them back in, wow. bring the rocks, put the sure. rocks back in. And he worked with everybody at Body House and gave them kind of covenants that this will stay natural, that you're not going to put, you know, crazy stuff in here, and you're not going to do this. And
right.
so there were some covenant rules, but it was to keep the area natural because you're in a very beautiful area of the Franklin Mountains. And,
absolutely.
You know, beautiful views, and you don't need right. all this
embrace,
junk.
Embrace what's
yeah,
there.
Embrace what's
embrace
there.
Embrace what's
exactly.
there and
so,
know that it's
And that development
can
is still nice to drive through. You can
sure.
you can mm-hmm. see the touch that was done there. And then, of course, a long time ago, Mountain Park was mm-hmm. put in, and those mm-hmm. were little, you know, spots where
the
houses were put
of,
in
mm-hmm.
and all the natural area left around them.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of those houses put the traditional landscapes
yes.
back in them, but at least they left those natural areas around there. Don't think putting in artificial grass lawn is
right.
helping the environment. That
yeah,
is a
exactly.
tremendous heat source. It really heats up an area. And you water it, clean it, mow it, brush it, you know, so it's not
And pull the weeds
for,
around the edges
right.
of it, you know, and then they're popping up
correctly.
Everywhere.
Right.
It's not,
when the dirt blows
know.
In.
Right.
it's makes
too
a big
hot,
difference.
Right?
And yes. Of course, we're gardeners, so you don't want to get us started
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even, yeah, you don't want to do that
a, yeah,
at
it's
all.
It's not a good topic for
at
us.
All.
Yeah. We, you know, we're all about Mother Earth and what we do to preserve her and take care of her. And that's, you know, that's why we're here. That's why we do good to grow.
But reach out with your landscape and talk to experts in the field and kind of get different opinions and,
right.
and start
Well, one
with
thing
your plan.
We didn't say, and it's a great idea, drive around.
Right.
See
oh,
what
yeah.
you like. See what kind of plants you like, you know. The goldenrod lantana is everywhere.
If you don't know what the plan is, go up and knock on the door. And
that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Most people, they'll be welcome to tell you a little bit about
Or put
the plant.
Plant Snap on your phone and take a picture of it, and it'll
oh,
tell you what it is.
There's all sorts of apps.
There's
yeah.
all sorts of apps out there for those kinds. Rushing through it, and I've done it a million times. You know, oh, I got to get this plant in a pot. And then
right.
I went back and I thought, well, I sure need to redo that.
Yeah, can we scooch that over?
Yeah, exactly. There's just it's a wonderful opportunity and a perfect time of the year.
Exactly. And then once you have all your plants, the right ones you want identified, you want to make sure that you know not just the name of the plant, but also its mature size. That's
right.
really important
Absolutely.
Because the last thing you want to do is have to scooch over those plants that
right.
are in the wrong spot.
Or move your house.
Or move your house, right? Exactly. And then once you have all of that, then you're empowered to be able to buy those plants and go out there and purchase them and kind of see what they're going to start off with. And I know that there's plants that you have, John, and one of the most recent purchases that I've had from the native plant sale was the little leaf cordia. And mm-hmm. I had seen it around town. And we'd always talk about this because you always tell me, this is an underutilized shrub. Let me tell you, that 5-gallon pot that I bought last year has doubled in size. It is beautiful, and it's a prolific bloomer, and
oh,
it just does its thing. It likes the spot that it's in. So thank you for that recommendation, John. And I know that you're always available to give folks a lot of information that's going to benefit
right.
not just them, but also for their landscape.
He's so, our plant encyclopedia.
He sure he
with two legs.
Definitely is. Definitely is. So we hope that you do have all of the great, wonderful plants, the popular plants, that chocolate daisy that seems to fly off the
right.
shelf, if you will,
right.
every year. So make sure you make plans to attend the Flora Fest Native Plant mm-hmm. Sale at the UTEP campus come April 27th and 28th, Saturday and Sunday, open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. both days. First come, first serve. You heard it here, John White. Jan
Petrozowski. But save me a mountain laurel, John.
Another,
okay, yes. I just got to have a mountain laurel.
All right.
All right. And we'll all see you out at the plant sale. We want to thank you for listening to today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Petrozowski.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.